It feels terrible in the moment, but good comes along eventually, which is something that I have to remind myself of during those really bad times.
Hello and welcome back to The Big Run. Today's guest is professional road and track runner Maggie Montoya, who's recently joined the Solomon team with an incredible resume of running accomplishments, not least her debut marathon time of 2:29.08 from the Houston Marathon in January of 2022 this year. She ran division track while she was at university, leading her Baylor University College to the NCAA championships in her final season, placing second and earning the all-region honors at the NCAA South Central Regional in a seasonal best 6,000 meter time of 2:21.07. She's got a 32:06 10K on the roads, a 15:19 5K, is a phenomenally talented runner and has been on an extraordinary journey of healing following surviving a mass shooting in March 2021 when she was working as a pharmacy dispenser in her local supermarket in Boulder, Colorado. On that day, 10 people sadly lost their lives, and Maggie has been public in sharing her account of what happened in order to draw attention to the issue of gun control in America. In this conversation, we journey through her running history, talk about the differences of 10,000 meters versus 3,000 meters on the track. We delve into that time and what it's taught her and her reflections from that moment in her history. And we also touch on her recent signing with Solomon and the exciting prospect of that brand entering the road running space. Ladies and gentlemen, this conversation was a real delight, and I'm incredibly grateful for Maggie for joining us on the show. I'm going to stop talking and hand over to the incredible Maggie Montoya. Maggie, thank you so much for coming on The Big Run. Really excited to get into your story, talk about running, talk about your relationship to running and wherever else this conversation goes. And we were chatting just before I hit record. Chicago is fast approaching. I mean, how's the build-up been for this particular marathon? Because this is your second marathon of this year, because you did the Houston at the beginning of this year. Is that right?
Yeah, I did my first marathon back in January. Had a blast, so I thought I'd give it another go.
How was the first time then? Talk us through Houston.
It was great. The NAZ group met up with my coach and was like, hey, what's Maggie trying to do? And realized that I wanted to do about the same thing that Alice wanted to do. And so we got into a good group. She had a pacer who did a phenomenal job and even convinced some of the guys in our group to block the wind for me, which was delightful. Mm. And it was a blast. I was scared about the whole, they say, if it starts hurting, like before 10K out, that's going to be a brutal last climb to the finish. But it only started hurting like the last 2 kilometers, which I was pretty lucky with. So I mean, great experience. So I'm willing to do it again.
So is there, I'm not familiar with the sort of topography of the Houston Marathon. Is there a bit of a nasty sort of section at the end?
Oh no, there's really actually not a climb. I was thinking just like the metaphorical climb of getting through like the marathon legs or like the tired at the end. There are some soft rollers, but they're definitely not hills.
Okay. So, and I mean, yeah, you've been very pretty. Came through with a 2:29.08. That's pretty damn impressive for your first marathon. So all in all, like a positive experience. I mean, how had the training been leading up to the first time? Like, was it something you kind of naturally agreed with that kind of like high volume and the sort of the demands of marathon training?
Yeah, it actually kind of worked. The timeline worked out perfectly. I had my first injury last July. June into July, I had a sacral stress reaction. And so it was my first time taking any downtime from training due to an injury. And the timeline worked out perfect of building back up my mileage and everything. And we kept my mileage fairly conservative. To not risk re-injuring myself, but was able to touch 100 once, but kept it fairly conservative on the mileage side to prepare for the marathon. But the injury gave me ample time to have a good buildup.
Mm. And what were your kind of like cornerstones, like in terms of workouts or sort of methodologies? Like what was the kind of
the dialogue between you and your coach kind of preparing for the marathon? Were there things that you were like, you kind of subscribed to, or things you kind of stayed away from, like in, I don't know, like tempo, fartlek, like track, like what were your kind of, yeah, the things that kind of worked for you in that process?
I don't know for sure, like what worked maybe better than others. I do know that every track workout I did during my marathon buildup felt horrible. And I dreaded going to the track anytime during that, but I loved like the long tempo days. I think just getting into a rhythm and zoning out and doing that is what proved helpful for me in the marathon. So just like the long runs with fluid, just practicing everything that I might come into contact with on race day, like those kind of things, I think prepared me well.
Mm. And coming off the back of your first injury, so first ever injury, because am I right in thinking that you sort of started originally in soccer or / football for the UK listeners?
Yeah.
And then
you went... I played that for 10 years.
Right, right.
And started running in 2008 along with soccer still.
And is it right? You sort of started with a 2 mile run and then you immediately doubled the mileage? Like, so already kind of like doubling up the mileage came quite naturally?
Kind of. The day that I ran the 4 miles, I walked a lot during that run, but it gradually got used to everything. But I mean, I loved it, even though like it was hard, I was hooked.
What was it about it that got its hooks into you?
I think it was the team and the simplicity of running. There wasn't like, I love soccer, you know, gearing up for it, going out on the field, but I love just putting on a pair of shoes and joining. We had all the middle schoolers and high schoolers out together for a practice, and just, it was a great atmosphere and it was very captivating, and I just kept wanting to go back.
And lots of like, you kind of do a little sort of deep dive on your guests whilst you're kind of waiting to log on. I know we had some like technical issues, apologies again, before we joined this conversation today. I'm seeing a lot of track as well in your, as you were coming through. Was it like a kind of traditional progression you're running? Was there cross country? Was there track? Like how did your build sort of progress over the years?
I was lucky living near the University of Arkansas indoor track, so I got to partake in all three seasons, which I think prepared me well for college, being able to just do cross country, indoor and outdoor. But I was still just at the point of having fun with running. I didn't ever run on vacations. I ran very, very low mileage in high school. I was just there to continue enjoying it and having fun. And I don't think I quite knew what my aspirations were in high school, or that there was a thing called running in college or running after college. And so I was like thrilled to find out that me having fun in this sport granted the ability to go run in college and help pay for college. And I think it was really cool being able to make that realization that doing something that I love, like provided this, opened up new doors for me.
Mm. And that point, like at that point, you were still sort of doing it for the pure enjoyment. But because I don't have direct experience of it myself, but when scholarship comes into play and there's like a financial connection to your performance in the fact that it's paying for part of your education, is that where the shift starts to happen, or did that where the shift start to happen for you, where like it was still fun, but there was a bit more like a light sprinkling of seriousness, to put it one way?
Yeah. I mean, probably by the end of my high school career, I was thinking about it more seriously. I definitely did notice I was having a little bit more anxiety before races. Like I loved practicing. I loved just the easy runs, but I had a bit more anxiety before races because there was a lot that hung on the line for races. That's what got broadcasted. It wasn't the practices and everything. And then when I got to college, I still don't think I fully understood what running in college was. I loved the team aspect, but I didn't understand like qualifying for these big races and whatnot, or racing smart, or I was just like, came from a state that isn't like super deep in running, like Texas or California has ever been. So it was a big, big learning curve. And I think I started realizing how important it was, like performance and everything. But I had a great, great crew of upperclassmen to look up to, and they made the transition pretty easy to like competition at that level.
Mm. And like for the uninitiated, what is it like at, that level? Like, because I mean, yeah, like, because the American system, just in comparison to the UK system, sort of poles apart. Like you mentioned, like the coverage, like, is one sort of concrete example in terms of how it's broadcast and sort of distributed to the masses over in America compared to the UK. I mean, is it quite a high pressured environment for someone who'd come from something that perhaps hadn't been?
I think once I got later in college, it was even more high pressured. But being an underclassman with a great crew of upperclassmen who led by a good example, like I had Mariah Kelly, she's from Canada, and Rachel Johnson and Alicia. There were a group of ladies that they were running at the top of their sport, top in the nation, and were still enjoying it. And so I think that was a good example of running at that level and kind of maintaining like nerves and everything. But there's like, you have a bad race and it's broadcasted on Flow Track and people talk about it. I'm not the type of person that goes on this one running thread called the Let's Run, but I know that some people, you know, get attacked there, dragged through the coals on there. So I think like I was definitely not at the caliber that like I ever felt like I was at risk of being at that, but I could see how being on those video feeds and everybody kind of seeing you at your best or at your worst could be difficult.
And what were the distances then for you? Like what was the one that you enjoyed the most? Like, was there one particularly that you kind of, yeah, it seems like looking over, it seems like you sort of lean more towards the sort of middle distance sort of stuff. But what was the kind of thing for you that you enjoyed?
I loved the 3K. I wish we had a 3K outdoors because it was like the perfect distance, a perfect blend of running fast like the mile, but not quite as long as the 5K. I never did a 10K during college, so I couldn't wrap my head around that distance. And 5K still seemed like a lot of laps to me. But 3K was a sweet spot. I love doing that indoors.
Of the 3K, you're exactly right. And again, I'm caveating my own offering of experience by saying I'm no way in the same kind of league as Maggie, listeners. But having sort of dipped my toe into track the past couple of years, bloody love a 3K. Bloody love it. It's just great. 7.5, just the perfect, right, a little bit of bandwidth, but not too much before it becomes a mental grind. I did my very first 10,000 meters on the track yesterday.
Oh no.
And oh Lord, wow. I mean, 25 laps, like that's something else. But you said you hadn't done it then in college, but you have since gone on to do it and do it pretty damn handily as well, the 10,000 meters. Like, where's the switch for where was the switch for you mentally to go from something like the sort of enjoyable kind of brief 7.5 laps of a 3K to the sort of the mental grind of the 25 laps of the 10,000 meters?
It was quite the learning curve. My first two 10Ks on the track went horribly. I think I was barely under 34 minutes, and that was not near where I should have been or could have been. And I think it was just like the 25 laps. When you fall out of like your rhythm or it starts hurting and you just keep having to keep going lap after lap after lap, it's a bit hard. And I just wasn't prepared for that. And I did my first 10K in 2019. I did two 10Ks in 2019. Mm. And both ran just under 34. And then in January of 2020, I did the Houston half marathon, and I went through my 10K mark of that race like nearly a minute faster than I did. I think nearly a minute. It was significantly faster than on the track, and it shouldn't have been that. And then when I did a 10K in August of 2020, like in the middle of the pandemic, finally hit the mark and finally like felt like a good rhythm. I just followed right behind a group of ladies that were really good at that distance and staying relaxed and just focused on staying with them, and it paid off.
And this is the thing that I've been like sort of trying to wrap my head around as well, is the difference between road and track. Like, I mean, it should be easier, right? But it's not. Like, and does it sometimes, is it sometimes the roll of the dice of what you get on the day, like who you can work with, who you can work off? Like, I mean, obviously it's the training as well, but there's something specific about that discipline on the track that I think is, there's a bit of a weird kind of mystique around it, says the guy who's literally just run it once. I'm by no means coming at this as like with the level of expertise that you have, but like for people who perhaps are like, well, it's the same distance. Why can't you just run at the same speed? Like, why are the two different?
At least for me, it's definitely a mental battle. It's the lap after lap. It's the fact that I can't seem to tune out during most 10Ks or most track races. So I think I'm like constantly like, I have 24 and a half laps. I have 2 kilometers left, or I have 4,800 meters left. I'm just always like counting down in my head, and that's not the healthy approach to it. And I think that's why I struggle a lot more on the track, but like on the roads, it's just the miles like go by so fast. Like I'm always surprised when the next mile marker comes up, because it just goes by so much faster.
It's that sort of just don't look at the lap count early on. Like,
I know, but I do anyway.
It's just
the problem.
If you're tired and then you look up and it only says like 21 and you're like, oh God, or like 90, it's still double digits. I mean, so alongside that sort of, dipping your toe into the longer stuff, doing 10,000 meters and 10K on the road. I mean, what were you studying? What were you studying whilst you were at college? Like, what was the course you were doing?
I did health science pre-med, but my intention was to go to pharmacy school, follow after my mom's footsteps.
So your mom was a pharmacist?
Yeah, she is. And she likes her job. She works at a hospital. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. I went and worked in a hospital, same hospital actually, with her as a pharmacy technician, and loved my time there. But when I moved out to Colorado and started working in the retail setting of pharmacies, I realized that this was not the career for me. It's tough out there, and I don't think that's where I would want to see myself in the future. And so I'm going back to school right now. I'm starting my master's in public health at the end of this month.
Oh, great.
So I'm excited to do that. I love learning. I've been missing school. So 5 years later, I'm finally starting it back up.
Yeah. And I mean, well, come on. I mean, there was obviously something else that hugely happened in between all of this as well, that I again, this is from an outsider's perspective, that perhaps maybe had something to do with maybe wanting to sort of reframe what it was you're particularly training on. And we talked about healing from an injury earlier, but there was something else that happened back in 2021 that you've gone on an extraordinary journey with, and I don't know whether you sort of feel comfortable with sharing that now with the listeners about what happened in Boulder back in March 2021, and sort of that journey, that story, and kind of where you are with it now.
March of 2021, I had just gotten back from the Gate River run, 15K champs, and I was on my first day back at work when we got trapped in the building during a mass shooting, and definitely a terrible, terrible ordeal to go through. Definitely has shaped the rest of my life, and definitely gave me a new perspective on living and opportunities and enjoying moments, trying to be more present for moments. And I know that, I mean, it's been hard. And like last year, finally like getting back into running and being able to assimilate myself back into the community and everything, and trying to work. I was extremely happy to be looking forward to racing at the Olympic trials back in 2021, since they were postponed. And then shortly before the trials is when I got my bone injury. And so I could say last year was a very, very hard year. And I've had a lot of ups since then. A lot of things have gone well, and I think it's just, it feels terrible in the moment, but good comes along eventually, which is something that I have to remind myself of during those really bad times.
I'm sure you've been asked this multiple times, and there's always that feeling of uncomfortableness on the interviewer's part when you feel like, yep, you're yet another person kind of lining up to ask you the same question and asking you to kind of relive obviously something that was extraordinarily traumatic and share it with the listeners. But there's so much strength I feel in you sharing your story, and you've spoken about it before in various outlets and stuff, and the kind of candor and the sort of forthcomingness that you have in sharing what happened, I think is really remarkable and commendable. And I just kind of want to underline that again and just be grateful for you for coming on and sort of sharing that perspective. And I mean, in the immediate aftermath, I mean, just to bring it back to sort of running, was like running a bit of a distraction whilst you were kind of processing what had happened sort of before the injury came along and kind of cut short everything. Was that part of your way of dealing with it?
Yeah, I like took a few days off and went back home for almost 2 weeks. But Vance, my coach, gave me the leeway to come back as I wanted to. And I think giving myself the goal of the Olympic trials and wanting to be there, that at least until I wasn't able to go, that at least was the light at the end of the tunnel. It was something to work towards, something to focus on. And I think that helped. I did a 5K that May, and that was a big personal best. So I was really happy with that, and felt like a step in the right direction. And something that brought a lot of happiness, knowing that I was back at it, and I was able to move forward. And so until the injury hit, running was and still is like a good solace. I mean, everybody I've met through it, whether it's just people I'm running with, or if it's just like the act of running itself, like, and the feelings you get from like a good run and good training, and has always been a good outlet for me.
And it feels like that, particularly that area Boulder, it is like this sort of running kind of mecca almost. And there's been, we've had numerous people on the show who are either based there or are from there or who've ran or trained there. I mean, Luke, one of your fellow Roots running compatriots, has been on the show a couple of months ago. Sorry to hear about what happened with his sort of marathon experience in Munich, but he's an extraordinary talent, and I'm sure he will bounce back even stronger off the back of that. He's a mad talented runner. So big shout out to Luke and all the Roots running guys. But I imagine that community sort of came out en masse to offer support and kind of, love during that period as well. It seems like a real kind of a lovely kind of community out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was just, the running community came together very strongly. They even did like a memorial run a couple weeks after the shooting to commemorate the runners and the first responders and the families. And it was awesome to see how many people came out for that, and how many people have offered their support to me and just offered an ear or a shoulder if I ever needed it. I have like great roommates also that have been there, and having my sister here has been great as well. I think just having a lot of great people, great runners, great friends just surrounding me has been a huge help.
So important, that stuff. So just hearing you as someone who's directly affected by what had happened, because when we hear about it as sort of bystanders, we're often removed from the fact, and to sort of get that almost direct access is just really makes it sort of hammer home. But for you as an American, with the landscape in America at the moment and how it's been for, seemingly a long period of time, there must be such a level of frustration with, sort of almost lack of movement, lack of the dial being shifted in any sort of positive direction in terms of reform.
Yeah, it's definitely been, it's been hard. I think it was something that everybody thinks isn't going to happen to them until it does. And that's, I think, just how the saying goes, you never think it's going to happen to you until it does. But while it's been extremely hard to talk about at times, I have always been willing to talk about it, even when it's hard. Because if I can lend a bit of what I went through and what I had to see and hear, if that changes anybody's mind about anything, it's worth it. Mm. If it changes the way they vote, if it changes the way that they communicate to others, or how others should be treated, it's worth it. It's worth every hard reliving of the moment. Trying not to get too emotional right now, but
No, and no need to, to sort of to plunge down that depth, because it's so extraordinarily brave, and I fundamentally can't imagine what it is like to sort of almost pick at that wound, to relive it in order to share the experience, to hammer home the message to people who may be listening with the power to change. But yeah, I've got to just commend your bravery in continuing to share and reflect on that experience. But moving forward then, we've got Chicago in our sights. Obviously the Olympic trials didn't work out, but there's plenty of other opportunity there. And recently that's kind of been bolstered for you by recently signing with Solomon. Now for, you know, an aspiring, well, not aspiring, an elite athlete. I mean, what's the word? When do you become an elite or an aspiring? I always find the sort of the crossover between the two. You're an elite athlete. I'm just going to goddamn say it now. I mean, so Solomon's kind of come in to sort of show support and, to back you as an athlete. I mean, that's got to be an amazing feeling to be like, okay, now I can really sort of take a swing at this with sort of backing from a big brand like that.
Yeah, I'm extremely grateful for this opportunity. I mean, so many people put hours and years into running, and one, because hopefully they love it, but two, it's just like that hope that one day all the hard work you've done is going to pay off with having that extra support. I mean, the extra support means the world. And I first talked to Aaron from Solomon back at New York last year when Noah was running, and he had just signed with them. And remember thinking that she was really cool and that Noah had a great situation going for him. And I didn't think that was going to actually end up being something that would turn around and help me. And, but my agent was working in the background, always fighting for me and always looking out for my best interest. And I think having the marathon that I did back in January has definitely helped push me in the direction of getting this opportunity. And I think it's so cool that Solomon has moved to wanting to work with people on the roads, and they've had such a strong scene up in the mountains and the trails. And it's cool always seeing like a brand evolve and change and open up new doors. And I'm glad I can be at one of those doors to join the road running team and join my teammate in that, and work with a great crew of people over there. I've met Aaron, met a couple of the Solomon people, and they're all great, great energy. And I'm excited to race for them. I've really enjoyed, I did my last couple of races of the summer season in their road shoes and really liked them. And so I'm excited to be running for a brand that I believe in and I'm excited to run for.
It's so cool. And I think you touched on something there that I think is really interesting, because when people think of Solomon, they'll maybe think of trail and UTMB and the mountains. But I think it's really a really exciting proposition to take all that knowledge, insight, technical data and whatever else you want to call it, and sort of apply it into a road setting. I think that's a really exciting proposition, especially with a really exciting stable of athletes at the forefront of that. So it's going to be really, really exciting. I keep using that word. Oh, I love it so much.
It is exciting.
It's exciting to see what they're going to do with a real kind of exciting stable of talent and see how they progress and evolve moving forward. Now, there's something you touched on when we were chatting just then that I think is a really interesting relationship to explore that I don't think is sort of delved into a lot of the time. And I think it'd be quite interesting for people to get an insight into. As you mentioned, your relationship with your agent. Now, obviously, people are familiar with the coach-athlete relationship, but like, how does it work with athlete and an agent? I think like, maybe people think, is it like Jerry Maguire? But I feel like that's probably not an accurate representation. I mean, like, how does it work? How do you kind of get signed? Like, what's the kind of ebb and flow between you two? Yeah, like, what's that relationship like as an athlete?
Yeah, so my agent is Josh Cox. I approached him rather shyly after my 2020 Houston half marathon, because my coach was like, all right, you just ran a good time, like, to open more doors, you got to talk to an agent. And I was super shy because I didn't quite think I was quite worth that yet. But Josh has been amazing. He's been a big advocate for, I mean, everyone he works with to help them out as their running progresses. And if that's getting them into races, he thinks that they can run well in, or like sponsorship deals. But what I'm super grateful to him for is, like, after the shooting, he took it into his hands to, there was, of course, with the running aspect and the publicity of the shooting, like, a lot of media that wanted to interview or talk to me about it, and he took it upon himself to organize that and weed out the ones that or just, like, let me kind of decide on what I wanted to do and not forcing it. And he was the one that would tell people no or yes, or just worked in my best interest for that. And he organized a GoFundMe for my coworkers and I, and helped broadcast that and organize that to give us some support for, like, not being able to be at work or not knowing what the future held for us. And that was a huge help. So, I mean, that was going above and beyond as more than just a running agent. And so definitely super grateful for all that.
Wow, I mean, extraordinary. Yeah, going really above and beyond. But I suppose those are the qualities, I suppose, that's obviously an extraordinary circumstance that you're kind of hoping are there in the background, that if you should ever need to call on, that they are willing to do that for you as someone that they represent. Like, when they, I don't know, when you kind of get the, not the spiel, but when you're kind of courting with one another at the beginning to see whether, you know, you'd like to work together as an athlete and as an agent, you're maybe hoping to look for signs that these are individuals that would go that extra inch because they believe in what you're capable of as an athlete.
Yeah. So I'm super grateful for him, and really, like, everybody that's ever been surrounded, John, me, my running teammates, my coach now, my coaches in high school, and I don't know, they've all been a big role in my life and where I'm at now. And so super grateful for
that.
Everything.
It's interesting, you, when you were talking about approaching him after running a stonking time at that Houston half, it was like 70 and, like, a bit of change, basically 70 and 6 seconds or something. I think that's right. I don't know. Don't want to misquote mm-hmm. your times.
Yeah.
But then you said you didn't think you were quite worth it. I mean, that's pretty damn good. Like, I mean, where are you at now with that voice in your head? Do you think, like, actually, yeah, no, I am. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty talented, and I absolutely am worth the time and the respect and to toe the line at those races. Like, where are you at on that journey?
I'm feeling a little bit more confident and more sure of myself, but I still definitely a lot of times feel like a small fish on, like, the big ocean on some of those starting lines, like, lining up to against some incredible women, and being left in the dust, you know, time and time again, but also still improving upon my own times and goals, and still moving forward. So I think it's just being more confident in myself, but also still knowing where I'm at and what I can work towards. So I mean, still working towards that, like, feeling like I fully belong right there on some starting lines. Some starting lines I feel good on, and then other times I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna do what's really good for me today. focus on that, focus what's in my control.
Yeah, that's all you can do, right? That's ultimately all you can do. But, like, when you are like lining up and turning those lines, looking at that landscape of other female runners out there that you kind of maybe admire or look up to, or then maybe you're kind of hoping to follow in a similar trajectory, like, are there people out there that you kind of, really, really get you excited about the sport?
Oh, pretty much any woman distance runner out there right now.
Yeah,
all of them. You got, like, Kira D'Amato and Sarah Hall and Sarah Vaughn, all mothers out there crushing it. And then you got people that have repeatedly come back from injuries, like Laura Thweet, and just still crushing it, still going after it. And like the women's team that just ran at Worlds this past year, those ladies plus Emma Bates, just everybody out there is an inspiration right now and something to strive for. And knowing that I have years more of good running under my belt if I want to stick with it, and some cool people to follow.
And like looking ahead, like, I mean, Chicago, is there, you don't have to say it out loud, but is there a time goal there for Chicago? Is there something in mind that you want to speak out loud, or are you kind of keeping that close to your chest?
I mean, I'd like to PR. I mean, if I could get closer to the mid 220s, I'd be really happy with that. But it's improving on my past time. It's racing well against a bunch of ladies. I mean, we can't help if like elements are bad that day or if it was hot and windy, but I feel like if I'm in a good position and running strong, then I can be happy with that. And it's going to be a good crew of ladies to run with. And of course we'll have the guys there since it's a mass start. So I'm really excited about the opportunity and have a couple different goals in mind, but just trying to run fast, run strong and confident and put myself up there and I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, it's a really good field for Chicago, right? Like the elite field is pretty tasty. And that's how many, there's so many. It feels like I'm so like overwhelmed with world champs, Commonwealth, European champs. And then we've got like autumn marathon season is like London is imminent, Berlin. So I always forget Chicago is after Berlin. How many weeks is it? You'll definitely
it's
know.
7 weeks from now.
Okay, 7 weeks. So you're in you're doing your last like chunky long runs now, like the real kind of meaty stuff. Where are you at?
Right in the middle of it. I got a little bit of a late start on the marathon buildup because right after I took my break at the beginning of July, then I got COVID right after my break, and so then it's basically I had like 3 weeks of break and just kind of recently found out I got into Chicago. It was kind of a toss up of which one I was doing still, because I didn't know which one I'd gotten into. So
between Chicago and New York, or
yeah, New York, or if like it was too late to get in those, then we'd look at something like Houston again. But I definitely was wanting to do one in 2022, so I'm really glad that worked out. But as soon as I knew I was into Chicago, then I was like, all right, here we go. You gotta start game ramping on. Up the training.
Let's go. And how is it coming out of COVID? Like, how was your experience of that? I know a lot of athletes have had different kind of experiences with it. Like, how was that?
I felt pretty good coming out of it. I was definitely really scared. That was my first time getting COVID. I avoided it for 2.5 years. But I was definitely really scared. I have fairly reactive lungs, and anything that gets into my lungs is scares me a bit because it usually lingers. And so I woke up one morning and just had like full body aches, and it hurt to every breath, like hurt to inhale. So I was definitely really nervous at that point. But it got better. Only had a fever for a couple of days and soreness, and I ran each day, so I still kept some mileage up, but probably could have taken a break the first couple of days. It probably wasn't worth running those first few days.
Is that a thing for you sometimes? Were you always tend to pull away from erring on the side of caution? Were you always try and squeeze a run in like a
no, like I love my breaks. Like after like when I'm told like my season's over and I can take a break, I want to take like days off of running. Like I'll still like do other stuff because I seemingly can't sit still. But I think I was just like, knew I had just come off of a break, and I'm like, if I'm doing a marathon this fall, I don't want to be taking a ton of days off again. I mean, the first day of COVID where I felt terrible, I ran 6 agonizing miles, and that wasn't worth it. But I'd already driven out somewhere. I drove somewhere that way. I wasn't going to be around people while I was running. And so I was like, well, I'm already out here. But I went in the middle of the day. So it was like 95 degrees. I did not set myself up for a good time at all.
That's not a party I'd like to be invited to. No, that sounds pretty rough. But you were by yourself, you know, socially distant, and you could sort of maybe start the sweating out process. Again, just caveat all of this, I'm not a medical professional. That may not be medical advice, but
pressure is always good, you know.
Yeah, got exactly. Pressure. You know, and that beautiful Boulder, you know, kind of it's revered air where you are. It's highly, highly prized air where you are.
When we have good air, sometimes we had 2 summers in a row of we had a few days of having the worst air conditions in the country. So we can.
Oh, yes. I saw that in the news.
Yeah, with the fires.
Yeah. And it was like toxic, right? It was like you couldn't go outside. It was pretty bad.
It was highly recommended that people don't go outside. Yeah, I had ash on my car. The skies were orange. It was scary.
And Boulder can have quite extreme kind of sudden changes in weather systems, like seemingly on a dime. Is that right? Like it can go like really hot into like crazy cold, like really, really quickly.
Yeah, I think like the hot days can be pretty hot. I mean, we're just at altitude, the sun just hurts more. But I think like those temperature changes are mostly beneficial for like the winters, because we'll get a snow day and then the next day it'll be sunny and it won't be like necessarily hot, but it'll help clear out the snow.
Right.
And I really like that part. The snow doesn't just like stick around for 4 months straight or anything. We are moving into some of the cooler temperatures now.
No, we're not. Don't let go of summer, please.
Well, like it's like high 80s. It's not like high 90s now, like that kind of cooling off.
That's my own insecurities of the British summertime slowly slipping through my fingers. Sorry to verbalize it there in the middle of a podcast interview. So before I sort of lament the British summertime that is rapidly, I got the email from our club coach. He sends out this sort of emails for every kind of workout that we do on Tuesdays. And there was a whole paragraph about how the winter season is coming and how the reps are going to get longer and stuff. And it's like, it's still August. Come on.
Did he use that like Game of Thrones reference? Winter is coming.
Yeah. God love you, Peter. If you listen to this, I'm not sure whether you will be, but he loves a kind of a cringe kind of joke, kind of like old school radio DJ joke vibe. So I don't know whether I think winter is coming will almost certainly be in like the following week's email, but yeah, it was just the prospect of the longer reps of hill training and stuff. It was just like, which is great, you know, love the hard stuff. It's always fun in a group as well, but it's that feeling of summer coming to an end. And I'm conscious of taking up too much of your time, so I'm going to bring this conversation to an end as well, because I feel like I've just been rambling at you slightly for the past couple of minutes. But normally within these conversations, I like to throw out two kind of expansive questions to my guests, and I'm always quite interested to see how they interpret them. So the two questions are, I sent them to you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Thinking within the world of running, within your own experience, or maybe not within your own experience, maybe this is a story that you've absorbed by osmosis from someone else within the running community, but what has been a big failure for you or for someone that you're connected with, and what has it taught you or them, if you are talking about someone else?
I think a big failure that I normally see is, I hate seeing like young runners and like the high school runners and the college runners that invest so much of their life and their identity into running. And if an injury happens, then like it seems like all hope is lost, or that there's not other avenues to find joy and happiness in. I think that, and I think if I was injured in college, I'd probably be in the same place. I think I went to a place that like worked well when I was running, but had I been injured, I don't think I would have enjoyed my time so much. So I think as I've grown in running, I've loved the fact that I have other things that bring me a lot of happiness outside of running. And I think that's like something that I want to see in other young runners, that running isn't everything. And I've just seen people, they put so much into their running so hard in high school when they're still young and should be enjoying things, and then come to college and have a hard time in college or get injured, and like that's hard. Or like seeing, you hear about the coaches that that don't say some great things to a lot of athletes, and I think that can have a big negative impact on the psyche of like a young runner, or basically a kid still. I think that's a big failure, is too much pressure on yourself as like a young runner. Like if you want to enjoy running for years to come, like you got to keep enjoying the process and enjoy everything else about life.
Love that. Such a lovely sentiment. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a difficult road to traverse sometimes, but it's always nice to be reminded of it by someone else outside of your own kind of bubble when you're in that sort of world of it. You kind of could attribute the second question to an element of what you were just sort of discussing then, but I'd be interested to get your take on it. I mean, are there any things where you hear and you're like, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That is a myth. Like, why are people subscribing to this idea, or why are people believing in this? I think maybe I'd like to use this opportunity to maybe say, actually, maybe that doesn't hold as much currency as you think it does. It's a bit of a myth.
I mean, I think we'll have all come to realize it, but that you don't have to be like tiny to be a fast runner. I think a lot of more mature runners realize that, but I think it's a lot of the young runners that need that realization that to run far and to run fast, you got to be strong, and you can't be strong if you're not giving your body everything it needs to recover. I think that as everybody gets older, runners realize that after, whether it's a string of injuries or having to pull yourself away from the sport a little bit better. But I think it's the younger runners that need to know that that's definitely a myth.
Yeah.
You need to be, strong to be fast.
100%. Absolutely can't underline that enough. And I feel like that's a lovely point to end this conversation on. And so many things to take away from it, and such wonderful insight and such candor and honesty with how much you've shared throughout this conversation, Maggie. So thank you again for that, and best of luck. Chicago, 7 weeks, closing in fast. I wish you all the best with your training. Thank you for coming on The Big Run, and thank you for being such a lovely, lovely guest today.
Thank you. Thank you for working with my computer issues.
A big thank you to Maggie for coming on and sharing her story. I'll link to her socials so you can follow her on Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us on The Big Run. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. More episodes on the way. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Big Run. I hope your run is going well. I hope the training is fruitful. And I'll see you next week for The Big Run.